The Crime Tree is a true crime podcast detailing the crimes and events committed against others. Listener discretion is advised. Until the age of 7, Jaden Parkinson had an idyllic childhood, growing up in the port town of Folkestone on the English Channel in southeast England. Just weeks before her birth, Jaden's mum Samantha was evacuated from the family home in Folkestone due to a severe storm that led to widespread flooding in the area. The torrential rain caused the Pent Stream that runs from the fire station out to the inner harbour to burst its banks, which left many homes and businesses under 2 metres of water. To be safe, Samantha was taken 27 kilometres inland to the town of Ashford, where Jaden was born on the 26th of September 1996. Despite having two older siblings, Jaden was the princess of the family, and from the moment she could walk and talk, was cheeky, funny, and very loud. Jaden was the type of kid you could hear coming before you could see her. When Jaden was 7, the family moved from Folkestone to Oxfordshire, so Samantha could help her father with the running of his post office and sweet shop. But just months later, Jaden's world was turned upside down when her parents separated. And after a 2-year-long court battle, Jaden and one of her sisters were sent to Manchester to live with their father, Paul. Jaden missed her mum terribly, and unfortunately, the distance made visits few and far between. But they spoke on the phone every other day, and every evening at a set time, each would blow 4 kisses out the window to the other. This nightly ritual is just one of the precious memories of Jaden that Samantha holds close to her heart. You are listening to The Crime Tree. I'm your host, Jasmine, and this is the story of Jaden Parkinson. As Jaden grew from a cheeky and loud little girl into a brooding teenager, she longed to be with her mum. And just before her 16th birthday, she chose to return to Oxfordshire to be with her, and was enrolled at Didcot Girls' School. But within months, Jaden had fallen in with the wrong crowd. She began skipping school, smoking marijuana, and staying out with her friends, not informing her mum of her whereabouts. Jaden's behaviour put a strain on the relationship she had with Samantha, and this only intensified when Sam began seeing a man that Jaden disapproved of. And for Jaden, this was just one more reason to not go home. Samantha was beside herself with worry for Jaden and even participated in a Living with a Teenager course that was run by the Oxfordshire Council. Unfortunately, within 12 months of returning to live with her mum, Jaden was a shadow of her former self. The pretty teenager who once held a great importance in her appearance now didn't seem to care. Gone was the makeup, neat hair and nail polish. Gone were the cute clothes and the shoes that she adored. And gone was her bubbly personality and beautiful smile. Jaden's spark had been replaced with a crippling sadness. The girl who once held her head high in confidence now barely made eye contact. She began distancing herself from those she was close to, and when things became too much, she swallowed a handful of prescription medication and ended up in hospital. This cry for help didn't go unnoticed, and a support worker was assigned to Jaden in an attempt to ensure her needs were being met. And it was through this support worker that Jaden began to reveal the turmoil she was suffering at the hands of a violent and abusive boyfriend. A then 20-year-old Ben Blakely began dating Jaden after meeting her through his younger brother Jake. Ben had turned on the charm in order to capture Jaden's attention, and her first impressions was that he was funny, good-looking and caring, and he knew all the right things to say to the impressionable 16-year-old. But what Jaden didn't know until it was too late was that Ben had a history of domestic violence and was well known to the police. He was physically, mentally, and verbally abusive to all the females in his life, and one ex-girlfriend would later come forward to tell authorities that Ben had used a kitchen knife to decapitate her neighbour's cat before placing the head on her pillow as a threat. Throughout 2013, Jaden made numerous attempts to distance herself from Ben, but by then he had full control over her. She was forced to leave home and school for good to move into his Reading, Berkshire home, where he could monitor her every move. and when he wasn't home, he'd often lock her in his bathroom where she was unable to escape. She was banned from social media, had her phone monitored and regularly taken from her, and all of her contacts were deleted. She was beaten, spat on, and degraded every day. Samantha often called the police, worried for her daughter, but every time Jaden was in the position to make a complaint against Ben, she was always forced to withdraw it afterwards. And in the UK, a child is legally allowed to leave home at the age of 16, so there was nothing Samantha could do. By 2013, Jaden had lost a significant amount of weight from her already tiny frame and looked exhausted. On several occasions, her support worker managed to get her to leave Ben and provided her with travel vouchers so that she could go back to her childhood hometown of Folkestone to spend time with her older sister, Shardy. But every time, within a week or two, Ben had persuaded her to come back. By July 2013, Ben had been kicked out of his Reading home, and he and Jaden essentially became homeless, spending nights couch surfing throughout Oxford, Didcot, Reading and Upton when they were unable to stay at Ben's grandmother's house. Finally, in October, just after her 17th birthday, Jaden managed to contact her mum and begged her for help, and Samantha wasted no time in rescuing her daughter. Over the following weeks, a broken and fragile Jaden slowly began to smile again, and when she was offered a room at the One Foot Forward Youth Hostel on Iffley Road in Oxford, Jaden jumped at the chance. This supported accommodation program would be good for her. She would be able to mix and mingle with other youth her own age, have a support worker available to her 24/7, and as part of the conditions of accepting the room, a safety plan would be tailored just for her. This safety plan that Jaden had to agree to included the exclusion of Ben Blakely from the premises, and special instructions were added to it that if Jaden failed to return to the hostel at any time before her curfew, the police were to be immediately notified. For the first week that Jaden spent at the One Foot Forward hostel, things were going great. Then suddenly, as if a switch had been flicked, Jaden began staying in her room. She stopped entering the common areas of the hostel, and she refused to speak with her caseworker. To those who knew and loved Jaden, it was immediately clear to them that Ben Blakely had found his way back into her life. Samantha spoke with Jaden's caseworker, and through her gentle, caring, and understanding approach, Jaden eventually began opening up again. Ben, she said, was threatening her with what is now known as revenge porn. Several months earlier, Ben had taken naked photos of Jaden as she was getting out of the shower while at his grandmother's house, and he was threatening to put them on social media if she didn't do what he wanted. Not only that, but Jaden had just found out that she was pregnant with his child. She told her caseworker that after she informed him of the pregnancy, he began threatening to throw her off a bridge, and she was now terrified for her and her unborn child's safety. With these threats, Jaden had once again become under the total control of Ben. He had instructed her that she was not allowed to talk or interact with any of the hostel's other occupants, and he had her believe that he had inside contacts who would inform him if she was disobeying. 17-year-old Jaden Parkinson was terrified of Ben Blakely, but with the help of her support worker and from the support of her mother, Jaden worked up the courage to attend the local police station where she filed a report against him. She knew that it was not just for herself anymore. She had her unborn baby to think of. This little life growing inside her had kick-started her maternal instincts, and she became fiercely protective and began standing up to Ben, making it known that he no longer had control over her. Then on Tuesday, the 3rd of December 2013, just 1 week after filing the report against Ben, Jaden missed her curfew, and the One Foot Forward hostel wasted no time in contacting the police. But unfortunately, due to a breakdown of communication between departments, the seriousness of this call was not immediately evident, and despite pleas from both Samantha and Jaden's caseworker, it took 1 week for an investigation into her disappearance to begin. And the first public appeal for Jaden was on the 10th of December, when local Oxford radio station Jack FM covered it in their news bulletin. with Detective Chief Superintendent Andy Murray making a televised appeal later the same day. After receiving no tips from the public and a proof of life checklist, which involves looking through a missing individual's financial records, their use of social media and use of mobile phone and other technology revealed no activity from Jaden, the case was referred to the Thames Valley Major Crimes Unit. Assistant Chief Constable Chris Ward and his team spent hours reviewing CCTV footage in the hopes of tracing Jaden's movements on the day she went missing. Just before noon, Jaden was seen leaving the hostel, returning at approximately 2:30 p.m. in the company of her mother and uncle. Samantha told investigators that the trio met for lunch that day. She noted that Jaden seemed well and happy, and the two had organised to meet up again later in the week to go maternity clothes shopping for Jaden. Jaden had never mentioned to Sam about going anywhere else that day, but not long after farewelling her mother and uncle from the hostel steps, Jaden was once again captured on CCTV at 3:41 p.m. leaving her accommodation, where she turned right to walk up Iffley Street toward Oxford City Centre. Dressed in light blue denim jeans, black runners and a zippered hoodie jumper, Jaden, with her hands in her pockets, seemingly just walked away from the hostel with purpose and simply vanished. After an extensive search using the hundreds of CCTV cameras in and around Oxford, the next confirmed sighting of Jaden was at 4:06 p.m, entering the Oxford train station, which is approximately a 30-minute walk from the hostel, suggesting that she had walked straight there. As she was walking through the automatic glass doors, a man appeared in front of her from off-camera. In the footage, it appears that Jaden paused slightly to acknowledge this man before walking out of view, following closely behind him. Jaden was next captured on CCTV disembarking a train at the Didcot Parkway station, again following closely behind the same man who had approached her just 25 minutes earlier. At 10:04 p.m, this man was seen walking back into the Didcot Parkway train station, but this time he's alone, and Jaden is not seen again. Detectives identified this man as none other than Ben Blakely, and he was quickly pulled in for questioning. It had been 11 days since Jaden was last seen, and throughout his interview displayed nothing but pure arrogance and lacked any concern for her welfare. He denied any knowledge in her whereabouts, then ended the conversation. Assistant Chief Constable Chris Ward then arrested Ben on suspicion of murder charges, and the following day made another appeal to the public, this time releasing photos of both Ben and Jaden. It was after this appeal that taxi driver Adrian Stovall came forward with information they needed. He told authorities that at about 2 a.m. on the 9th of December, he picked up a fare from a rural country road just outside the village of Upton, which is located less than 3 miles south of Didcot. This man, who he believed to be Ben Blakely, despite the booking being made in a different name, had with him a dirty, large and very heavy blue suitcase, so heavy that Mr. Stovall had to help lift it into the boot of his Toyota Prius taxi. When he questioned the weight of the suitcase, the man told him that he had just been kicked out of his girlfriend's house and had packed as much of his belongings in it as possible. The taxi then dropped this man off in Didcot, and a quick search of phone records showed that the booking had been made from Ben Blakely's phone. Searches were immediately organised for the area suggested by the taxi driver as the pickup point, and just metres from here was an old dilapidated barn that was often used by the local youth as a spot to drink alcohol and smoke pot. Stuck on some bushes next to the barn, they found a handmade beaded bracelet that bared the name Jaden. And while cadaver dogs indicated several areas in and next to the barn, Jaden was nowhere to be found. The next step was to door knock the houses of Didcot around where the taxi dropped Ben and the suitcase off in the early morning hours of December the 9th. And the detectives quickly realised that one of these houses belonged to Ben's grandmother. When approached by the police, she informed them that days earlier Ben had arrived at her house asking for a suitcase, which he returned the following day covered in mud. She led detectives to a garden shed where they located the suitcase, as well as two shovels that appeared to also be covered in fresh mud similar to what was on the suitcase. All three items were taken into evidence. Neighbours also reported that they had seen both Ben and Jake riding around the area on mountain bikes on the morning of December the 9th, and both were covered in mud. Then the following day, a 999 call came in from the landlady of Ben's younger brother, Jake. She informed the operator that she had just caught Jake disposing of several items of clothing and some shoes in a local charity donation bin. And being aware of Jaden's disappearance and of Ben's possible involvement, she thought it best to call in. Throughout this phone call, Jake can be heard in the background begging her not to call the police. The items recovered were later identified as belonging to both Ben and Jake, and these items were covered in the same thick clay-like mud that was found on the suitcase and shovels. Believing that Jake Blakely was also involved in the disappearance of Jaden, he was arrested and, just like his brother, refused to talk. Assistant Chief Constable Chris Ward was now confident that Jaden had been buried somewhere in the vicinity of Didcot and commissioned the Royal Air Force to fly over the area to carry out aerial photography looking for any areas of disturbed soil. This flyover suggested 10 possible areas to search, and forensic archaeologist Dr. Carl Harrison reviewed each one carefully. One of these areas was in the Didcot Cemetery, which was located on the grounds of the All Saints Churchyard on Lydales Road in Didcot. This particular spot was of interest. The disturbed dirt was on top of an already established grave, and footprints could be seen in the mud around it. On the 18th of December, 15 days after Jaden was last seen, Dr. Carl Harrison and his team began the careful excavation of the site. And at a depth of 40 centimetres, they began to uncover the body of 17-year-old Jaden Parkinson, her feet tucked into the back of her underwear. Detectives then realised that this grave belonged to the uncle of Ben and Jake, who had passed away years earlier. A post-mortem examination revealed bruising on and around her face, and that Jaden had died from strangulation. The evidence suggesting that she had been brought around two or three times before being killed. 17-year-old Jaden did not die quickly and would have been fully aware of what was happening. 22-year-old Ben Blakely was charged with her murder and pleaded not guilty. At trial, the court heard from numerous people in regards to Ben's abusive and violent behaviour, and it was heard that Ben had threatened Jaden with posting naked photos of her online in the hopes that she would kill herself. Throughout his trial, Ben displayed the same arrogance he'd shown through his initial interview. It was heard that Ben had lured Jaden to the train station on the 3rd of December 2013, then had her go with him to the old barn on the outskirts of Upton. It was here that he accused Jaden of cheating on him, despite the fact that the two had already ended their relationship. He then strangled Jaden several times before stomping on her head. He then hid her body in a field beside the barn before returning to Oxford later that night. Several days later, he visited his grandmother's house, taking her blue suitcase with him when he left. Returning to the barn, he shoved Jaden's body into the suitcase, tucking her feet into the back of her underwear to make her fit. His plan was to then drag the suitcase the 3 miles back into Didcot. But when this plan failed, he had no choice but to call a taxi, and the driver, Adrian Stovall, unknowingly helped lift Jaden's body into his cab, describing the suitcase as trying to lift a huge sack of potatoes. After being dropped off in Didcot near the cemetery, Ben waited for the taxi to disappear from view, before dragging the suitcase through the churchyard and over to the already excavated plot of his uncle Alan Kennedy. In July 2014, Ben Lee Blakely was found guilty of the murder of Jaden and was sentenced to life with a minimum of just 20 years. 17-year-old Jake Blakely was acquitted of helping his brother hide Jaden's body, but was found guilty of perverting the course of justice and sentenced to 3 years imprisonment. On Thursday, the 12th of June 2014, just weeks before his daughter's killer was to stand trial, Jaden's father, Paul Parkinson, suffered a massive heart attack and sadly passed away. Jaden Rihanna Parkinson was the UK's 131st domestic abuse victim to lose her life in 2013, and was Britain's first murder case where the victim was buried in a pre-existing grave. Her funeral was held in February 2014 at St Martin's Church near her former hometown of Folkestone in Kent. She was laid to rest in a beautiful purple coffin and was farewelled by over 200 people. Her mother Samantha has dedicated the years since, trying to petition for a nationwide domestic violence registrar to be established, and has launched the charity Jaden's Gift, which helps to raise awareness and money for teenagers living with domestic violence. Thank you for listening. Please join us again next time when we bring you another story picked fresh, straight from the crime tree. All photos pertaining to this case will be up on our Instagram @thecrimetree.